A Gallup poll reveals that 56% of Americans believe that there is a hell, a place where sinners go after death. Now, interesting enough, only 4% think they have any real chance of ending up there. Pope John Paul II recently added fuel to a debate going on in theological circles by claiming that hell isn't a place, but a state of mind. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to take a look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Pope John Paul II helped fuel a debate when he announced that hell is, quote, more than a physical place. Hell is the state of those who freely and definitely separate themselves from God. According to a San Antonio Express News report, the pontiff's remarks sparked some controversy. The president of Louisville Southern Baptist Theological Seminary said that the Pope had reversed 2,000 years of Christian teaching. In the second segment of today's program, we're going to discuss the concept of hell with Don Henson, co-author of What Happens After Death. The concept of hell in the Western world as an actual place became graphically real during the Middle Ages with the publishing of The Divine Comedy by Dante. Dante describes the eternal abode of the wicked as a nightmarish place divided into various levels of torment based upon types of sin. Above hell's gateway, he reads, "Through me lies the road to the city of grief. Through me lies the pathway to woe everlasting. Through me lies the road to the souls that are lost. Justice impelled my mighty architect. The power divine, the primal love and wisdom, surpassing all, has constructed me. Before I was created, nothing was, save things eternal. I shall last forever. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." In Dante's hell, wrathful people, naked and covered with mud, are condemned to fight each other in a never-ending orgy of hatred. Heretics are trapped in flaming tombs. Others are forever tormented by a rain of fire or flogged by demons. Hypocrites are forced to labor for eternity, clothed in gold-plated cloaks made of heavy lead. Others are tortured by snakes. The idea of a place in the center of the earth where the dead exist in a conscious state is common among most ancient religions. In the Odyssey, written by the Greek poet Homer, the hero Odysseus visits the shadowy underworld of the dead. Hell is an everlasting place of torment for the wicked, became part of Christian orthodoxy in the 2nd and 3rd centuries. Over time, some theologians began to see the biblical description of hell not as a literal place, a place of fire, but as a metaphor of the tormented soul cut off from God. Now others continued to support the traditional view. Thomas Aquinas, one of the most influential theologians of the Middle Ages, writes that the happiness of the saved will be increased by watching the suffering of those condemned to hell. He writes, "Therefore, in order that the happiness of the saints may be more delightful to them, and that they may render more copious thanks to God for it, they are allowed to see perfectly the suffering of the damned." 18th century preacher Jonathan Edwards, famous for leading the Great Awakening Revival in America, stirred audiences with descriptions of hell's torments, causing unbearable pain to every part of the body, including the heart, head, bowels, eyes, hands, feet, even the tongue. A prominent British theologian of the 19th century, Charles Spurgeon, declares that those cast into hell are in a fire exactly like that we have on earth. Thy body will lie asbestos-like, forever unconsumed, all thy veins roads for the feet of pain to travel on, every nerve a string on which the devil shall forever play his diabolical tune of hell's unutterable lament. It has become more popular and more acceptable in modern society to believe that hell isn't a particular place, but the state of torment of a person living forever cut off from contact with God. As pollster George Gallup Jr. comments, "Lots of Americans seem to believe in hell, but they believe in it for other people, not for themselves." Let's face it, in our politically correct, "I'm okay, you're okay, nobody can judge me" pluralistic society, sending someone to eternal punishment is pretty much out of line. Many times we go to church to hear about how much God loves us, not about divine punishment. Now, what the Bible actually says about hell might surprise you. How much of what you believe is in the Bible is based upon centuries of religious tradition and not on what the Bible actually says? Are you willing to take the challenge and look into the Bible for yourself? As an example, let's just use the Hebrew word translated hell in the Old Testament. The word is also translated grave and pit in English. In Psalm 9:17, this hell or pit is the place where the wicked go upon death. It is also written in Psalm 88 that this is the place where the righteous go upon death. Hell in the Old Testament is a place of punishment. It is also synonymous with being buried in the earth. King David laments that in hell there is no remembrance of God. It is often described as a place of total darkness. Job anguishes, quote, "Before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadows of death without any order, or even the light is like darkness." Solomon, famous king of ancient Israel, sums up the helplessness of man faced with death and hell in Ecclesiastes 9:5-6. He writes, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun." He continues this gloomy commentary in verse 10. "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Did you know that Jesus claims that God can destroy both body and soul in hell? Yet the Bible does talk about torment, a lake of fire, and eternal punishment. So what are the answers? In the next segment, we're going to talk with co-author Don Henson of What Happens After Death to explore what the Bible really says about hell. You may find it surprising, so don't go away.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death? Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back. We're on a telephone hookup with Don Henson from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, co-author of What Happens After Death. Thanks for being on the program with us today, Don.
Well, thank you, Gary. It's my pleasure.
You know, in the last segment, I talked a little about how the Old Testament concept of hell is quite different than what is commonly believed in modern Christianity. Now, you touch on this in your booklet. Could you elaborate some on how the Old Testament writers teach and what they teach about hell?
Certainly. The English word hell, of course, carries connotations, and kind of we automatically think of it as an ever-burning place of eternal torment, but that's not at all what the Hebrew itself conveys. The Hebrew word used throughout the Old Testament is the word Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, and Sheol simply means to cover. And when that word is used, it is speaking of the grave. Of course, when a person dies, his destination is the grave, and they're put in the ground and covered. So it has no connotation whatsoever in that use of a place of punishment. In fact, some of the newer translations even use the word grave instead of the word hell because of that connotation that the word carries in our use of it.
Now, do the New Testament writers teach something different about hell?
No, the New Testament actually is very consistent with what the Old Testament teaches. That is, nothing in the New Testament contradicts what the Old Testament has to say on the subject. However, New Testament writers do provide more information. They give us a more extensive look or more teaching, more detail about the ultimate punishment of those who will not be part of, those who will not choose to be part of God's kingdom. However, the New Testament does not teach that people will be tormented for eternity. The New Testament is very consistent with the teaching that man is mortal and can and will die.
I think many people understand that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. Now, in your booklet, you state that there are three different Greek words translated hell in English. Could you talk about those three words a little bit?
Sure, Gary. The first word would be the word Hades, H-A-D-E-S in the Greek, and that's simply the Greek equivalent for the Hebrew word Sheol. It means a grave. So when that word is used, it's, again, just speaking about death and burial and of the dead. The second word that sometimes causes some confusion is used in 2 Peter chapter 2. That's the word Tartaro. It's spelled T-A-R-T-A-R-O-O. That Greek word is only spoken of in reference to demons or evil spirits. It means a place of restraint, a condition or a place of restraint, and it's speaking of, again, evil spirits or demons as they await their judgment, which will occur when Jesus Christ returns. The word Tartaro is never used in reference to people. It does not describe a place of fiery torment, as people would sometimes picture hell to be. It's not referring to people at all, but to spirits. The third word, which, as I mentioned, provides a little more information or detail regarding the fate of those who are the wicked, who will eventually be destroyed or judged, is the word Gehenna. Now, Gehenna is derived from the Hebrew expression Valley of Hinnom, and this describes the city dump, actually, of Jerusalem. It was located on the outskirts of the city. It was a desolate and gruesome place where garbage was burned. There was a fire burning in that valley, that location, continually. And not only was garbage and refuse burned there, but also the dead bodies of animals and the lowest of criminals were also burned there in the Valley of Hinnom. Now, Jesus referred to this on several occasions in his teachings. He used it as an example or as a warning to the people because they were very familiar with that gruesome and terrible location. They knew it to be the place where the bodies of wicked people were destroyed. And as such, Jesus used the Valley of Hinnom or Gehenna to symbolize what would be the fate of the incorrigibly wicked. Now, the Bible makes it clear that that judgment is something that will occur in the future. It's not something that happens to a person at the time of his death, but Gehenna does describe or represent that ultimate punishment that will occur.
But didn't Jesus, when he was speaking of the punishment of the wicked, say, now this is a quote, "Their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched"? Now that sounds like some kind of eternal punishment to me.
Well, it certainly is represented that way, but it's really a misunderstanding of what that scripture is meaning or what it's intended to convey. It is often used to make that claim that people will be tortured for all eternity. In fact, Jesus is there speaking of the Valley of Hinnom. It's in Mark chapter 9, and he points out that the fire there, it says, was not extinguished. It does burn continually. As I said, the Valley of Hinnom was the place where refuse and garbage, the dead bodies of animals and criminals was burned. There was a fire burning there continually. So that's why he says that the fire is not extinguished. He makes mention of the worms that die not. In the first place, he says worms, not people. He's pointing out that this location where this garbage and refuse are decaying would certainly attract flies. They would swarm over the decaying bodies and the garbage. They would produce maggots. The maggots would become flies. They would produce more maggots. The cycle would just continue indefinitely. So it's just a description of this being a very gruesome and unpleasant, terrible place. And in fact, when you read the context there in Mark 9, Jesus is speaking of the terrible fate of the wicked and pointing out that we must do everything we can to avoid that fate. He's not describing a place where immortal souls are punished for eternity, but he's simply warning that we don't want to have to suffer that ultimate fate of the wicked.
What does the Bible say about hell? We'll be back to talk more about that right after this.
Why does modern Christianity teach that you have an immortal soul that has eternally existed when Jesus taught the opposite, that you don't have an eternal soul and can be dead forever? Find out the astonishing true teachings about life after death in our free 64-page booklet, What Happens After Death? Call 1-800-966-9232. Most of Christianity says you will go to either heaven or hell, while Jesus never said any such thing. Call now 1-800-966-9232 for your free booklet, What Happens After Death? See the hundreds of scriptures never quoted by most religions today. They reveal a picture unlike what most have come to believe about life after death. There is no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy of What Happens After Death? 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back with Don Henson on a telephone hookup. He's the co-author of What Happens After Death. We've been discussing the biblical concept of hell. So far, we've discovered that what the Bible actually says is quite different than the traditional concept. Now, if the Bible doesn't teach that sinners are tormented forever, then how do we explain Revelation 20, verse 10? Now, Don, this is what it says. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Well, Gary, this is another example of a verse that is often used to claim that there is a place of eternal torment. However, a careful reading would show that that's really not what the verse says at all. Clearly, the beast and the false prophet are people. They're human beings. And we see in Revelation 19 that they are alive when Jesus Christ returns. And at that point, they are cast into the lake of fire. Now, we've already seen from other scriptures and other comments we've made here in our discussion that the scripture makes it clear that people as humans, when they're cast into this lake of fire or into Gehenna, are burned up and destroyed. So, it's evident then from other scriptures that the beast and the false prophet are certainly not alive. When you look here in the way that this verse is translated, you notice that the word are, when it says that the beast and the false prophet are in this fire, is in italics. That indicates that that word is not in the original Greek manuscript, but it was added by translators to clarify the reading. Now, when we understand this in the context of other scripture, we see that clearly the word were would be more fitting. The beast and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire. And we understand, as we said, that at that because of that or in that, they would be burned up and destroyed. Now, the reference here to being tormented day and night forever and ever is in reference to Satan and the demons, because they, as spirit beings, would not be consumed or destroyed by the fire, but they certainly would be tormented. This verse is certainly not one that can be used to claim or to justify the belief in a place of eternal torment.
I want to thank you for being on the program today and discussing the important subject of hell.
Thank you, Gary.
You can get your free copy of What Happens After Death by calling this toll-free number, 1-800-966-9232. And remember, your copy is paid for by the United Church of God. No one will write you or call you asking for money. Now, the Bible teaches about a future resurrection from hell to eternal life for the righteous and of eternal punishment for the wicked. The wicked are repeatedly referred to as chaff sifted from grain and burned. The prophet Malachi was inspired to write, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all those who do wickedly, will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow like stall-fed calves. And you shall trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet, on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." Approximately 450 years later, John the Baptist, as recorded in Matthew 3:11-12, declares, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I," he's talking about Jesus Christ, "whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now listen what he says about Jesus Christ. "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The apostolic writers vividly describe God's punishment on the incorrigibly wicked as flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not obey God, as Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians, and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries, as written in Hebrews. This fiery destruction was understood by the early church as a future event engulfing the surface of the earth. The Apostle Peter writes, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will burn up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat?" In the book of Revelation, this punishment on the wicked is called the second death. The second death isn't condemnation to eternal torture, but total annihilation of body and soul in the lake of fire that engulfs the entire earth. Now, obviously, the all-powerful Creator God can do with humanity what He wishes. But in the Bible, God reveals Himself as love. Many people, when confronted with the traditional concept of hell, find themselves in a moral dilemma. How can God love all mankind and at the same time condemn many of them to everlasting torment? How can little children or people who have never had a chance to even hear the name of Jesus Christ be condemned to punishment without end? The concept of eternal death for the incorrigible instead of eternal torture is consistent with God's revealed character of love. It is also consistent with God's justice. Would a just God repay a person who has lived in rebellion against him for a finite time with infinite torment? What purpose would everlasting suffering achieve? The idea that the torment of the wicked will increase the joy of the saved, well, that's the opposite of love. God isn't a cruel warden wanting to create an eternal torture chamber. It's God's prerogative to give life. It's His prerogative to take it away. The revelation of a caring God as a life giver who has all authority over life and death is the great message of the Bible. Why were you born? There is a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For the Good News, I'm Gary Petty.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death? Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.